What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to The Sex Wrap. You're here today with Spring and sadly no Andrew because, well, our technology wasn't quite cooperating today, but we have a special guest with us today, Shay Harmon, who I'm going to introduce in a second, but let's get them to say hello. Hi, Shay.
Hey.
So good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So Shay is a sexologist in training, studying at the Contemporary Institute of Clinical Sexology in London. What does that mean, Shay? What are you studying?
Essentially, I'm studying to be a sex therapist.
But today, we are going to talk about some transgender, some gender nonconforming, some non-binary issues. And we get a lot of questions about this and about all of these kind of interrelated topics. And so we thought that we would have an expert in many ways come talk to us today. And so I would like you to introduce yourself and tell us what your pronouns are and anything else you just want to share in your intro with us.
Cool. Right. Yeah, I'm Shay Harmon. And as you said, I am a trainee at the Clinical Institute, Contemporary Institute of Clinical Sexology. I'm based in London. My pronouns are they, them. And my goals kind of going forward are to make sex therapy more inclusive for gender nonconforming people. So anybody who might be trans or non-binary, agender, gender queer, gender fluid, or people who don't identify with gender at all. So I'm working very hard to try and change up the way that trainings happen and the way that we kind of do sex therapy with clients, but also understanding of trans bodies and what happens with them. And then also really tapping into the idea of queer joy and queer pleasure and focusing on trans pleasure.
What does that mean?
Well, I think that there is so much discourse around trans bodies right now that we kind of forget. And for the purpose of this podcast, I am going to use trans and non-binary, probably interchangeably. However, they sometimes are interchangeable, they sometimes are not. Non-binary kind of sits underneath the umbrella of trans, but some people identify as non-binary without being trans. So it's whatever anybody wants to be, they can be. But for the purpose of this, I mean, like gender diverse people, I'll probably say trans, I'll probably say non-binary. So your question was, what is trans pleasure? And as I was saying, so our bodies are so medicalized and we have a lot of issues with access to healthcare. We have a lot of issues, to access to hormones, to surgeries, to physical transition, and also with mental health as well. And I think that we really struggle to tap into our own pleasure, and I want to help more people do that, sexually and out. You know, it doesn't have to be sexually. It's kind of finding yourself and your place in your identity and what makes you happy.
Mm, yeah. So since there's like so many changes happening, and if somebody is going through some type of transition, then it sounds like the focus gets lost on pleasure, on joy, on these other things, and all the focus becomes about these transition things. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. It becomes more about the transition itself and less about that these are actual human beings. In the UK, there's a huge discourse right now about trans rights and about banning conversion therapy for trans people. And a lot of the time, it doesn't feel like we have ownership over our own bodies. Mm-hmm. It's in the discourse of the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think taking that ownership back is really important, and tapping into how we feel pleasure and where we find happiness within our community and within ourselves is probably one of the most important things that I want to kind of help level the playing field on, and especially in sex therapy.
Yeah. I mean, I think so many people have trouble focusing on and finding their own pleasure. And I'm so happy that you're choosing to make this a priority for non-binary people. I think that's so exciting. And I mean, you talked a little bit, you referenced yourself as non-binary, including yourself in this group, and you said your pronouns are they, them. Can you talk to us about what your identity is and how you identify in this world?
Yeah, I tend to identify mostly as trans, masculine, non-binary, queer, or genderqueer. And those all kind of mean different things to me. Trans to me is that I just don't identify with my assigned gender at birth. Non-binary kind of means that I don't really feel like I fit on the spectrum of, or on the binary of man or woman. I feel somewhere, not even necessarily in between, but somewhere outside of it. Genderqueer is just, I just really like that word. I think it really expresses a lot, but it's kind of less common. So for a sort of my public profile and stuff, I tend to say trans, non-binary. And I say trans masculine because I don't necessarily want to reject my femininity, but I really am enjoying leaning into my masculinity right now.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the things that I like to talk about a lot, is that identity and gender, or not even identifying with gender, it's a fluid experience and it can change over time. So not everybody has to identify, you know, as they do right now forever.
Mm.
And I think that's the same with sexuality as well.
Yeah. I think that, you know, there's a lot of areas of in our lives that we are fluid, and that, you know, even if we don't have experience with gender being fluid personally, we can understand that, you know, romantically, we might feel different ways of different times and want to be in a very serious relationship, or we might want to be in a very casual relationship. And so, like, these, you know, desires that we can identify with might be fluid. And so I think, you know, people might not be able to understand the gender fluidity, but maybe if they can think about other aspects of their lives where things that they identify with are fluid, that might help them to kind of think about, oh yeah, I could understand how that might change over time also. And so speaking about this, like, changing over time, I have this next question on my list, which I'm afraid to ask you, because I'm going to tell our listeners that Shay in advance told me they didn't like this question, and now I'm, like, nervous to even say it. But I'm going to say it so that they could tell me why it's a bad question. So I want to know if you're willing to share with us about your transition, about how you've been changing over time.
Yeah, so I don't love this question, I think, because of some of the reasons I said before, because of the medicalization of bodies, the public discourse that anyone who is sort of cisgendered can ask someone about their transition. I think it's probably comparable to asking someone, you know, how's menopause? How's the menopause going? Or, like, how's your erectile dysfunction? Like, it's really focusing on that, on some kind of process. And while that process is part of me, I'd much rather people ask me how I'm feeling. And some people are fine with it, and some people are fine with self-disclosure, but I think a lot of the times we feel almost like we have to answer these questions because I don't want to portray trans as being a universal experience, because it's definitely not. So, but I feel like a lot of us, when we're asked these questions, we feel like we almost have to answer them to validate our own existence as human beings in the eyes of other people. And I think that people, especially people who are not even physically transitioning, might get asked these questions. And I think that it could potentially make them feel less legitimate in their own identities. Mm. So I would focus on questions like, you know, how are you feeling? What's going on for you? What's challenging for you right now? You know, and just not ask them directly about their transition. And I think a lot of people will share what they want to share. For instance, if you want to follow me on Instagram, I do share some of the things that go on for me there. Spring already follows me, so she knows. But listeners, if you want to know, I do reveal some stuff there, but that's the stuff that I am personally comfortable revealing. So I don't love that question.
Thank you. Thank you for telling us that. And thank you for helping us understand also like how invasive something like that could be. And, you know, I think a lot of us don't realize, if we're not non-binary, if we're not genderqueer, how invasive that question could feel. And probably some people think they're being supportive in asking a question like that, right? So I love the alternatives that you gave, like, okay, you know, if you want to be supportive, great, ask somebody how they're doing, ask them, you know, how their day is, like, how can you be supportive in other ways? And and you know, I think that when we think about transitioning, I love also what you said about many people aren't transitioning, right? And so asking that question can also be really fucking rude, right? Like, okay, like, that's not part of my life at all. Why are you putting that on me, right?
Or because there's not enough access to healthcare, it might be triggering for them, because maybe they want to transition physically, but they don't have access to it. And then you're kind of bringing that out into the open. And if you're not ready to support a conversation around that with somebody, that could come as a surprise, especially if it's kind of like a small talk thing that you're asking someone about. Yeah. And yeah, totally. People, there are lots of people who don't want to transition.
Right. Yeah.
They want to, they like who they are and what their bodies look like and everything like that. They just want to change their pronouns and identify as, you know, non-binary or trans or whatever. And that's totally a legitimate way to be trans as well, or non-binary or gender diverse or blah, 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 all the things.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Okay, so I want to get into some of your expertise in just one second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and Shay is going to tell us a lot of advice, a lot of tips, and I'm so excited. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're here talking to Shay. Shay is going to share some amazing advice with us. Don't feel pressured. So my next question is, what tips, what advice, what kind of tricks do you have for other non-binary, genderqueer, ... people when it comes to sex?
So as I said before, we definitely do not involve these bodies enough in conversations, and especially around sex and pleasure. And so these tips, they're kind of, they're based on what I think would help trans bodies and trans people, but they actually could apply to anybody, I think. They are used in different ways in different situations, in various sex therapy settings, and just normal, like, mindfulness type of settings as well, right? So, like, mindfulness has been shown to be very effective for a lot of things, and I think it's a very good way to tap into pleasure. So my first kind of tip is to think about the language that you want to use around your body if you are a trans human being or a non-binary human being. it's really important, I think, to sort of be in touch with what you want to call things. As a trans human myself, I have various sort of ideas around different body parts and what I want to call them. And they don't necessarily have to be like the body parts that you are are called when you're assigned at birth, right? Mm-hmm. So I was born AFAB, assigned female at birth. And so I've been told I have a clitoris, a vagina, a vulva, all those things, but I don't have to call them that. And I think that our relationships with our bodies can be really confusing, whether you go and have surgery or whether you choose to go on hormones, and with barriers to accessing gender-affirming care, the constant hate, objectification, the infantilization.
Yeah. I can't say it either. Don't worry.
Okay, great. We're in this together. It can make us feel really like shut out of our own pleasure. Mm. And I think that reclaiming some of that is by thinking about our bodies and coming up with language that we're comfortable with. And a lot, you know, lots of trans people, whether they're, no matter what gender they are, might call what they have down there, you know, a clit or a dick. Like,
yeah.
And so you don't have to use the language that you've been told that you have to use. Mm. And you can practice saying it. You can practice different things, and it can also change. Mm. Yeah. There's a great zine called Fucking Trans Women I think it came out in like the 90s, maybe earlier. And it talks all about trans women and talks a lot around what they might prefer to call their genitalia. And it's really, really interesting. There's just like these tiny sort of subcultural pockets of people having conversations around this stuff. But in sort of the wider world, no, like people don't talk about this. Mm. So one of the resources that I've been trying to push is something for healthcare workers when they're talking to people about their sexual health to expand the language around what they're using to call mm-hmm. people's parts.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to ask people when they go into a room, because sometimes using the term clit or vagina might be, or penis might be, triggering.
Yeah.
It might be dysphoric.
Yeah. You know, I can identify with that in a way. I have like a long history of disordered eating and eating disorders. And, you know, I used to feel like really upset when somebody might say the word like, put your hands on your belly or something, like in a yoga class or something. Like it would immediately take me to a place of my belly is too big, I feel uncomfortable in my body, I hate my body, and like it would immediately put me in a totally different place, right? And it's just the use of that word. It's not even it doesn't even have to be necessarily like in when we're talking about these words for genitals or sexual body parts or any body parts, right? It doesn't have to be even in a sexual situation, right? It can really right. just send you to a place of discomfort. And I think that I love this tip of thinking about how you want to refer to your body, what these words are, what these phrases are, and then practice using them for sure, because if you just think about it and you name them and you don't like start to put it in sentences, then it's not going to like flow, it's not going to come out right. So how could we practice using them? Like, what would you do that with friends, or how would you think about that?
You could what I have done is looked at diagrams of things and kind of crossed out the names. Mm. And I found that really empowering, crossing out the old names and putting like my own names or someone's new what they want to call it on there. Practicing with your partner, practicing with yourself, if you're into self-touch, kind of saying it out loud when you're doing that kind of practice can be really helpful, I think, just in embodying it and owning it. I think talking to friends and partners around it as well, and kind of normalizing it for yourself.
Yeah, cool. Okay, what other tips do you have for us?
Tip number two. You have like a little song or something.
Tip number two.
So I think that one of the a really important thing that trans and non-binary, et cetera, people can do is to think about the scripts that we have about gender. So thinking about what we've been taught, thinking about especially sort of heteronormativity and where our shame in our identity sits within sort of the toxicity of heteronormativity.
Let's talk about heteronormativity for a minute. So that is when we are assuming that people are heterosexual, and we are also assuming a lot of things that go along with that, and that is the norm, and that is what people kind of should be doing, and that they should, you know, align with maybe, you know, men are strong, women are in the kitchen, men and women go on dates together, and they have sex after they go on a date to the movies or whatever, right? These are just like stereotypical things that we kind of think about. That's what we're talking about. All of this stereotypes that go along, these assumptions that go along with heterosexual behaviors and dating scripts.
Yeah, and heteronormativity affects everybody, literally every single person, because the script is, you know, penis and vagina sex is the kind of sex, the only kind of sex, like that is sex. You know, any kind of oral thing, any, you know, like anything else is not real
sex.
Yeah, butt stuff, not real sex. Sorry. Heteronormativity would say sorry, no, because it is a male and a female people, very, very sort of traditional ideas of what bodies look like, what kind of sex people have, and it has normal kind of in the title, heteronormativity, and I like to just think about what normal even fucking means. It is pretty meaningless when you think about it, because if you look at the diversity of people out there, you look at the diversity of relationships, bodies, sexualities, gender, like culture, society, is just, there's nothing really normal, is there? And sex comes in all different shapes and sizes. So I think breaking down narratives around masculinity, femininity, and gender can be really helpful. So thinking around, you know, what the assumptions are in your sex life, what the assumptions are in your everyday life, and just noticing them. You don't necessarily, you're not broken because you have them. But I think that the first way to kind of start to potentially work with them and potentially work with any shame that has to do with them is to start to notice them. And notice what your relationship is with your gender, what the narratives of power you have are, how you feel about your body, how gender dysphoria and euphoria play into sex, and how those are potentially affected by sort of traditional, more traditional, in quotation marks, norms, not norms, traditional senses of sex and gender.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I hate waiting for people to ask me out. I'm like, okay, I think this person's cute, I'm gonna ask them out, right? And sometimes people get really surprised because I'm a woman and I'm not supposed to ask people out. I'm supposed to wait for other people to ask me out. I'm supposed to sit around by my phone and see if someone ever texts me or calls me. If they call me, I wouldn't pick up. I'd prefer a text, just FYI. But I'm just supposed to sit and wait for that, right? And it's really funny to me, you know, every time I ask someone out, they seem like really shocked and surprised still to this day. And it like always cracks me up. I'm like, really? Are you really surprised that like this so far out of like the realm of what you think is normal that like it's a shock to you, you know? I mean, it's like little things like that. And it makes me mad every time someone seems shocked, you know? I'm like, why are you so shocked that this is something that I can actually do, that I have the skills and the confidence and the ability to like actually follow through with, you know? And so it's like, it's all of these little things that Shay's talking about, like observing them in our own lives, right? Like when we notice like our reaction to that, right? Like if I got mad, for example, if someone violated what I felt like was supposed to be normal or kind of expected. And then also noticing my reactions when I like see other people's reactions also, right? So I can say like, oh, wow, it makes me mad that that person thinks that's weird, right? And it's that process of identifying these things that gives us more power in the scenarios, right? When we can say like, oh, that's messed up, or oh, that's not right, then we can like have a conversation about it. We can like identify how we are feeling and start to work through that and have conversations with our friends and our partners about it. Yeah. Do you have any other examples? I just want to like
Thinking about kind of the way that we, the ways that various people have shame that about some of their kind of sexual preferences because they're not within sort of the heteronormative framework. So for instance, there are a lot of people who don't like penetration, but they think that they should do that because that's what sex is. And then there's a bit of shame around penetration and not, you know, not being able to ask for what you actually want, and hopefully eventually someday being able to accept that that's okay, that it's okay to have those preferences that sit outside of that. And you know, it may feel uncomfortable for a while, but it's actually a really big relief once you go, oh, thank goodness, like, oh, I don't have to do that. Like, I literally don't have to do that. And I can do the things that make me feel good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that example. Thank you so much for helping us understand that a little more clearly.
And I just also want to say that there is a lot of heteronormativity in things like porn and in our culture, and it's really difficult to get away from it, but there is a lot of like really good sort of queer erotica. One of my favorite writers is named Zan West. And they do really, really cute stories about gender diverse and body diversity. And they're just really cute. Cute and sexy, obviously. Some of them are really sexy, some of them are kind of cute, like they have different relationship structures. And then there's also like queer porn, like Crash Pad and Pink Label and stuff like that, which, to be honest, I've used some of those just to kind of learn how to interact with my own body and to learn how to interact potentially with other trans non-binary bodies as well. Like, obviously it's not like the tool to use, but it's made me far more comfortable because I've been able to see myself in those scenarios, because there are other people with bodies like that.
Yeah.
In those.
Yeah. We'll put all the links to all these things that Shay is talking about in the show notes so you can explore some of them for yourself. And I mean, it's really interesting that you talk about, you know, these queer porn as being really helpful, because, you know, a lot of times on the show, you know, we're talking about more traditional forms of porn and that a lot of it can be very misguided when we use it like as a source of information. So I'm excited to have some like, you know, educational sources that are also, you know, pornographic and give us some ideas of things that might be helpful in our lives and sex lives specifically.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. None of the porn is going to be perfect, but I think it is helpful in seeing your own bodies. Just being out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So final tip, tip number three. Pleasure. Ooh. Learning about your own pleasure, because it's not about, it doesn't always have to be about an orgasm. So there are lots of different kinds of tools and practices and that don't necessarily even have to be about sex. But they can be if you want them to be. So staying curious, I think, about your own pleasure and the way that you're feeling. For instance, just practicing touching yourself. It doesn't have to be like in like any masturbatory practice. It could be literally touching your hand and seeing what that feels like, and just it's kind of like that mindfulness that I touched on before, around just kind of thinking around and focusing on the sensation and whether that feels good or whether that doesn't feel good, and connecting to the pleasure in sort of any way that you can in small steps and encouraging those feelings, exploring those feelings with or without partner or partners, I think can be really, really helpful, especially for people with bodies like mine, because it's difficult and confusing to figure out what feels good because of those heteronormative narratives, because we're told certain things should feel good, but they don't to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody has so many differences in, you know, what they respond to and what they like in their bodies. And yeah, I think I agree. I think we all need to spend more time understanding what we like and what we don't like, and also being able to communicate about that, right? Like also, you know, once you understand what types of touches you like, what types of touches you don't want, then practicing, which again, you could do just vocalizing in your own room. You could practice writing down. You could ask a friend if you could try practicing. But I think, yeah, also, how are we able to tell other people those things?
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of things that I'm thinking is that basically, I think when you are doing practices like this and thinking about things like this, even like, it sounds kind of shitty, but even when you don't like it or when it feels bad, that's information. So it's kind of like always a win when you're doing these things, because you're figuring out what you do and what you don't really like or what you might like in certain situations, and it can change with different people or different times, and it's like allowed to change as much as you want it to or evolve. My personal relationship with my body has been changing for several years now, and even just being on things like testosterone, it's definitely changed a lot of the ways that I experience pleasure. So I've had to kind of re-explore myself. So it's about finding what does feel good, what is actual pleasure. So finding a safer space, thinking about it, writing about it, slowing things down, trying things out, what amount of pressure feels right, what kind of touch feels right. And a lot of the and also practicing to saying stop to even to yourself, because I think that's one of the hardest things as well, is that when we are put into a situation with someone else or where we feel like we're pushed or we should be feeling like we should be enjoying something because they're doing it, just saying, okay, slow down, or using a kind of code word like a safe word or like yellow, red, green, can even just verbalizing that out loud to yourself can be really helpful. And lastly, I think that talking about it with partners is really important, and even sort of doing things like writing sex menus together or doing pleasure mapping. So sex menus are...
We have a whole episode about
sex
menus, episode 86, if you want to go back and check that out. We have a lot of ideas on how to write them. We have some templates even in the show notes. So, yeah.
Brilliant. I also have a template that I'm happy to share.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And then pleasure mapping, which I don't know if you've heard about that, but it is getting a huge sheet of paper.
Ooh.
Having your partner or somebody draw with like a Sharpie around your body onto the piece of paper.
I love this. I love this. I feel like I'm back in kindergarten and I love this already.
And then you and your partner, whatever, like you can kind of color this in. You can write words on it. You can like put red for no zones, or you can like put stickers on it. You can literally do whatever you want to express where at that point in time you are with where you're like good zones and bad zones are. It's kind of like that picture that you see of like a cat that you can color in where it's like always red where the belly is.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but
I'm sure that most of the internet
don't like their bellies touched. Is that what you're telling me?
Is this new information to you?
My cat just bites me no matter what, so it's hard to tell.
I relate hard because my belly is a fucking trap. Okay, don't touch it. And anyway, I think lastly, anytime you gain like new information or like about any of these things, celebrate it.
Yeah.
Like really, like that is the queer joy.
Yeah.
Is finding this information out. It's exciting and it can be really, really difficult to unpack, but it's really exciting once you go, oh my God, like I really like that, or oh my God, I can communicate about this now to someone else, or I know what I want this part of me to be called and I know how I might want someone else to touch it.
Yeah, I mean, that's so empowering, right? Like understanding things about yourself and knowing them for sure. And then being able to communicate it, like, and that's what we want, right? We all want to be able to feel empowered in our bodies and to feel some agency over our bodies. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to take one more quick break and then I have one more question to ask Shay and we're going to get a few more tips from them. So we'll be right back. Okay. Yeah. Here we are. All right. So our last question for today is, so we've been talking a lot about advice for people with their own bodies. Now I want to know, what advice do you have for partners of people that identify as trans, non-binary, genderqueer? I love the genderqueer phrase. I like want to say that one every time. I love the word queer also. I love the reclamation of that. What advice do you have for people that are dating, going out? I would even say like friends and supporting them. Like give us some ideas of how to be a good ally, support system, partner.
I think that like the real, real key is to listen and just really listen and communicate with your partner and, you know, don't be that asshole who doesn't understand why they want to call, you know, their body a certain word or, you know, it's all about supporting them through what they're going through. It's difficult because there's a lot of trans non-binary people also tend to date a lot of trans non-binary people. So there's like a lot of mutual support going on. And that can be, you know, really difficult at times. It's really celebratory because a lot of us, I think, date people that are kind of like us because there's a mutual understanding of what it is like and what the general experiences are of not having access to healthcare like other people or not having access to hormones or having access to things that we want. So helping to celebrate the wins, helping to support when the wins seem really far away, And like I said earlier, just asking about the person is like a really good support, treating them like a human being.
Yeah.
Like, it seems so obvious, right? Like, listen to them,
yeah,
support them. And yeah, like, if you are a cis person, like, get involved in some activism if you can, or in whatever way that feels right to you. The more that people kind of speak up in support of trans lives, the better, obviously. And unfortunately, people tend to listen to cis people more than they listen to us.
Mm. Yeah, I think that that really makes a strong case for the importance of speaking up. And, you know, this idea of, like, you know, cis people who identify with the gender that they were assigned at birth, right? So I would be cis because I identify as a woman, and that's what I was told I was. So if I can, like, never understand fully, like, what someone who's genderqueer is going through, then I think, you know, the support comes in where I can, like, be curious and, like, you know, want to understand that experience as much as possible and try to support people in my life that identify in that way, but without being invasive, right? And I really appreciate how you were talking about transitions earlier. And, like, so I want to think, you know, how can I be curious and, like, try to understand what someone's going through, but without being invasive? And, like, can you help me think of, like, examples of, like, what that would look like?
So I think just asking people how you can support them, asking people how they are, what's been challenging for them, is there anything you can do? I think just being really present, I think, and kind of knowing what's going on in the political landscape of things that are happening in whatever country you're in, and being aware of that, asking people if they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
When there's big news about stuff, is, I think, is really important. It's really important to be seen during these times and to feel seen.
Mm.
And to be listened to. So yeah, I don't know if that
answers. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking also, like, you know, I don't want to map my experiences onto somebody else. And I'm thinking, like, so if, you know, I can't understand maybe why someone wants to use a specific word for their body, but I also don't have to understand that, right? And I think that's a big part of showing up for people, is, like, you don't have to understand the why of, like, what they're saying, but just believing that's their experience and believing, like, okay, that's what you're telling me. Even if I can't understand that in my body, like, I need to understand that that's what it's like for you. And I think that's something that a lot of people really struggle with, right? They're like, they have to, like, be able to connect it to some way in their experience. And maybe you can, like, I was connecting to, you know, body image stuff. And so maybe there are aspects of it, but also I think I would just want to say to people, you don't have to understand it to support someone, right? You don't have to fully say, like, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. That doesn't have to be part of it.
Yeah. And I think that if you do have questions around it, it's important not to burden someone with that lived experience with potentially those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So constantly having to explain to people what non-binary means, or what, you know, like, literally Google exists. There are thousands of TikToks and trans TikTok about this kind of stuff. Like, Google it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not hard. There will be answers. Reddit is, there are so many kind of, like, sub areas of support, which unfortunately are not more mainstream or used more mainstream, but, like, Reddit is a pretty great one. There's lots of, like, Facebook groups. There's Facebook groups for allies and families and friends supporting people. Like, join one. Ask those questions in a place that's, like, you know, like, crowdsourced instead of... And I'm sure that someone else has asked that question before So just find the answer somewhere else. Don't ask... You don't have to ask your friends unless they've explicitly said it's okay.
Yeah. And I love that, asking permission to ask questions, right?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions about this, or?
Or do you, like, please, you can tell me to Google it if you want.
Yeah.
Or you can tell me that you're uncomfortable answering that, and then I can look for the answer somewhere else. Like,
I don't want to
go away and make everyone really afraid of asking questions. Because asking questions is good. It's good to be curious. It's good to want to have more information. But think about the information that you actually, that's actually going to be useful to you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to know whether trans people are intending to have surgery. You just don't need to know that. It's personal.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Shay. I've enjoyed this conversation so much.
Me too.
I'm so happy that you were able to come and do an episode with us. Sorry, Andrew, that you missed this, but we love you.
We had a great time without you. The tech was really
not working today.
On our side, so.
But I'm going to put all of this information that Shay's been talking about in our show notes. There's a lot of things for you to explore, and I want to remind you to check out our social media also at The Sex Wrap on all the platforms. You can also email us your questions. It's thesexwrap@gmail.com. You can call us at 413-I-WRAP-IT. That's wrap with a W. And stay in touch. We are so happy to be in your lives, and we love to hear what's going on in yours. Any last words to sign us off today, Shay?
My Instagram account is at Shay Queer Therapy, SHAE Queer Therapy. And you can follow me there, see what I'm up to. And I'm always happy to inspire some other gender diverse peeps.
Amazing. Thank you. And we'll see y'all next. Okay. We'll hear y'all. No, you'll hear us. Well, you'll hear us next week.
Bye. But not me, Andrew instead.
Bye.